ASD Radio, the official podcast of the Alamosa School District. I'm one of your hosts, Superintendent Dr. Diana Jones, and I'm thrilled to be your guide to the people, programs, and progress shaping our schools. We're joined by co-host, Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Dr. Murillo, ASD Radio is one of our favorite things we're honored to do each week.
Yes, and we have a very special guest today. We are recording this on a Tuesday, and we're expecting the first snow of the season.
I know. I can't believe it. They keep teasing us with snow, but yeah. I just saw a little bit yesterday. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to call a snow day tomorrow or anytime soon, but talk about that. Talk about that burden. Dr. Jones is a superintendent.
Oh, it is a burden. Yes. You can just... It's so hard on families and parents if mm-hmm. we call a snow day,
yeah.
but people really want us to do that. Mm-hmm. The positive thing about living in the valley is that there's lots of snow all around us, and we just usually get a little trace or just a little bit, but we can still move around and get our kids to school safely.
Yeah.
But that's why we call school off, is if we cannot get our students to school safely on the buses.
And since we're talking about that topic, let's just share a little bit about that process, because, you know, we're joking and laughing and it is a burden, but there's a lot that goes into looking at the weather forecast. I know in the past I've joined meetings from the Pueblo station, yes, to get more information, and then our transportation director is up quite early.
Yes, very early. And it just, sometimes it might be 2 or 3 in the morning. Typically it's around 4:30 or 5 that he goes out, and several of our team members drive in different areas around Alamosa and Alamosa County to see if they can get their vehicles across certain parts of roadways to get our kids to school safely. I also am in constant contact with the other superintendents in the valley. I also have a text thread going with Dr. Tanberg and Adams State and their police chief and their operations manager as well. I'm also in contact with the board members, letting them know what our plans are as well. So a lot is happening in the wee hours of the morning.
Generally speaking, I know there's lots that goes into this. If we can get our kids from home and to schools, we're going to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Our instruction, we have limited instructional time, and so that's important to us. Let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. What can you share with us that's happening around Alamosa School District?
I have a very special story. Our community has lots of needs, needs year-round, but as we near the holidays and as we were talking about, the weather is changing, we have students who don't have a coat, who cannot afford decent shoes for sports, or who might be thinking about going to a dance or a prom or a homecoming dance that might not have an adequate dress. And these are needs that happen across the district, but we really see it more at the high school. At the high school, our registrar saw this need, and our counseling team, at the beginning of the school year, took some donations and made some purchases to help out a few kids. They quickly realized that the need is larger and ongoing, so they just opened up what they're calling their Moose Threat Store, which is meant to help alleviate some of the needs on students.
That just warms my heart. And I know Mrs. Ortega said some students stopped by yesterday, the first day, and some students took some things they needed. And some students just looked around to get a feel for how it worked and was it really free, and things like that. But we know that there is a need, and I'm so grateful for our staff members for stepping up to assist our students and provide a safe space for them to find some things that they might feel comfortable wearing.
Yeah, and our high school registrar, Sherry Warren, is taking the lead on this. And the Moose Thread store is stacked with clothing items, shoes, backpacks, coats, and certain hygiene and food items. It is open during the regular lunch hour on Mondays and Wednesdays. And what we know is that it'll continue to stay open as long as that there is a need, and as long as we continue to get donations or get clothing items so that we can continue to help our students.
I love that. And thanks again to Ms. Warren and the other staff members at the high school for doing that. It's such an important thing and another way for our students to feel like they belong.
And thank you to anyone and everyone who has donated or who is thinking about donating in the near future.
Will they accept monetary donations as well as clothing items?
I believe they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get started with our guest for today.
You know, Dr. Jones, this is the part of the podcast that I really enjoy because being an assistant superintendent and a superintendent yourself, wish we could be in schools all day, every day. That's just not feasible. So this is a way that we get to know our people, the people that who have put in so much into our school district. Today, our special guest gave us 4 years of her time without receiving a single dime. She decided to run for school board 4 years ago. She won an election, got into the school board, and quickly became our school board president and served for 4 years. Lots of things were accomplished during her time, but we're going to get into that here in a minute. I'd like to welcome Heidi Richardson.
Welcome. We're so grateful you're here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself? I know you've been here before, but that seems, I mean, it seems like yesterday, but it was years ago.
Yeah.
So would you tell us about yourself, who you are, family, where you work?
I'm Heidi Richardson. I work at Valleywide Health Systems. I'm the controller there, a fancy word for accountant. I have a family here. I have grandkids in the district. I went to Alamosa High School. My husband went, well, Alamosa School District all the way. My husband went there. My son went there. Actually, my parents actually went there. So we've been involved in the school for a long time.
All right. Now, we were just talking about how you served on the school board, and then most recently you were our school board president. But let's go back 4 years ago to when you decided to throw your name in the hat. What was that moment that made you think, I can do this, I can serve my community in this capacity?
Well, I was approached, it was during COVID, and I was approached by the Republican Party to run and keep our kids in school. And that's what I wanted to do. So yeah. I jumped in feet first. I knew nothing about the school board, but that was our goal at the time, to try to fix that problem.
Yeah, the good old COVID days, right? Right. Who doesn't remember them?
And oh my gosh.
It was so difficult to navigate, but at the same time, I mean, so crucial to have a school board that was hearing from the community to lead us through those difficult times. And I'm so glad that we made it. We made it through, and COVID is now in the past. Let's talk about the learning curve, because you just talked about that. At first glance, it might seem like school board members just attend a school board meeting. It used to be twice a month. Then this year, we're doing a hybrid. Some months it's once a month. Some months it's twice a month. There's a lot more that happens behind that. Talk to us about the learning curve, and what are some things that you didn't quite realize that you know now?
I think the biggest thing is people think that if you're on the school board, you can just go in and make changes. That mm-hmm. is not. I mean, school board is about policy, and We don't have the capacity to hire and fire, and we can't go in and say, well, I want this done. It's the whole board. It's not just one person. So just the concept of what people think you can do and what you actually have control over are very different.
That is a good point, because you guys function as a body of one, as seven. But again, as a single school board member, you cannot speak on behalf of the board, and you cannot make, even though you are president, some people might think, you know, there's a lot of power behind presidency. There's a lot of responsibility. But when it comes to the power, it's still the same. Your power as a single board member, it's the same power as someone who's not the president. It's a really good point there.
Said you jumped in with both feet, and you certainly did, and you gave us so much time and energy, and spent a lot of time on committees, and you and I spent a lot of time together preparing the board agenda. That's part of the role of the president, is to help prepare the board agenda and to make sure that we're moving forward with, as you stated, policy and following our policy and state statutes. As you jumped in, as Dr. Murillo said, what was something that surprised you that you hadn't thought about that a board member needed to do, or that you did as a president?
Well, there's a lot of surprises. There was a big learning curve. I mean, there was just so many things that you would think common sense says, I can do this, but the law says something different, and policy says something different.
And, that's right.
And stuff. So you can't just say, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, that is very true. And in fact, there's times where it does feel like we should be able to make a quicker decision, but there are so many things to take into consideration. And at times, you know, checking with policy, state law, or lawyers, but also looking at unintended consequences, because I mean, we serve 2,000 students, and that is a bunch of families who have all different values or see things maybe similarly in a few things, but also differently. And when we serve as a school district, we serve all of our students. A really good point.
I think we saw that really come out when we were looking at the 4-day week.
Yes.
You know, unintended consequences, you know, things that you had never even thought about that popped up. Oh, well, what about this? What about this? And stuff. I think that really showed where unintended consequences could nail you.
For sure. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we're going to get into some of the things that were accomplished in your time. And the 4-day school week was one of them that happened fairly early in your service. And I remember just getting all this information about teacher retention and recruitment and the state of mental health of our adults, and also being the last out of the 14 school districts who was hanging on tight to a 5-day school week. You know, because of several reasons, but when we decided to come together, there were lots of things that we looked at. We looked at what other school districts had done. We looked at some research, but then most importantly, we looked through our lens. And what I feel proudest about, and then I'm going to let you share what you were proudest about in that process, is we looked at it through the Alamosa lens. And even though we looked at research and we also had special guests telling us what they did, I feel that the final product is really Alamosa stamped and what works best for our community. And later on, the city of Alamosa ended up making that switch as well. So it must be working for our community. And that process, what are you proudest about in that move from a 5 to a 4?
I think we covered all our bases. I mean, there was some people that had concerns about food insecurities. We covered that with, you know, providing breakfast and lunch to kids on Fridays. We covered what are kids going to do on Fridays. Yeah. You know, with the help of Boys and Girls Club, they were phenomenal and stuff. So I think that's the thing that we did the best, is we pretty much covered all of our bases. And I don't think we really had, when we converted, there wasn't a learning curve. I mean, it flowed very well because of all the planning that was done beforehand.
Yeah, taking that full year was definitely a a good way to go about it. And also there, I remember there were some other things about increase in crime rate. People were concerned about that, or increase in teen pregnancy rate, or increase in shoplifting events at our local stores. And I just don't think that any of those have actually materialized. So good work.
The planning and the forethought that went through that process, really, like you said, Heidi, we had very few hiccups after we moved to that. Several people just said, oh, just change to 4-day. But there were so many things behind the scenes that needed to happen prior to changing, you know, people who weren't paid a salary and they're paid on an hourly basis, that affected their days and hours. And we had to work through that. And it was important to the board and to us that no one left that process making less money, and just making sure that everyone was taken care of, that academics was still a focus. You know, we are here for the students and to help students learn. And we're able to accomplish that, and then even provide time for staff to have that extra time in the day to what we say work on the work and to collaborate and make sure that we're moving forward and progressing academically.
We don't often take the time to really slow down and think about what's been accomplished in the last couple of years, because there's so much work and so much that we still need to do that's coming ahead. But I'm going to ask you, what are some of the other things that you are proud about as you reflect on your 4 years of service?
I thought about this last night, and I was like, man, we did a lot. I mean, yeah. We collaborated with students and teachers and did a strategic plan, which had never been in place before. We have a profile of a graduate. We have a facilities master plan. We opened a online alt-ed school, the family center. We have pretty much the best paying wages in the valley. There's just so many things when you start to think about what we accomplished. And I mean that as we. I mean, it takes everybody. Yeah. It takes the community. It takes the teachers. It takes staff. It takes students. It takes parents, administration. I mean, even this down to the city level. Mm-hmm. So it takes a village.
We also, we've already talked about the 4-day school week, but making sure that our students had appropriate and quality airflow and air conditioning was a big hurdle for us to accomplish. It took several years, but with Heidi's leadership and the board support, we were able to accomplish that, and the BEST grant as well. There are lots of things that occurred over the last 4 years that it is, you have to stop and think, oh my goodness, we did do those things.
Yeah.
Even last night at our district accountability committee meeting, Dr. Maria was able to give a presentation on our instructional model that many people don't have, and the quality and the research that goes behind that. That was accomplished over a period of years as well. So lots of great things happening.
Yeah. So now, Heidi, you're not on the board anymore. We're going to be, we already swore in one new board member, and then the vacancies will be getting declared tonight. What is a piece of advice you would have for someone who's thinking about putting their name in to be appointed as a board member filling a vacancy, or down the road, someone who's thinking about running for a school board?
I think you just have to remember it's about the kids. I mean, when it comes down to it, the kids are our future. So we've got to support them and make sure that they're safe and well-educated, and they're our future.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I want to, since we're on the topic, you put in a ton of time.
Yes, she did.
So just give us a glimpse on week by week, what would be the average time that a pretty involved board member would put in? Because you have a full-time job, you have a family, you have grandkids. but you also attended a lot of our meetings. I'm sure you did some reading on your own, and you were also speaking to constituents about what they needed to tell you. So on average, how many hours is it for a board member?
Well, it depends on if you're a president or not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, let's talk about the president.
Then you have a little bit of extra and stuff. Like Diana said, you know, you meet and decide what's going to be on the agenda. We met quite often just on issues that popped up. How should we handle these? You know, do we need an executive session? Do we need to talk to the lawyer about this? Mm-hmm. The bond was a big time consumer. I don't know that was so much a time consumer as a board member, other than a bond committee member, mm-hmm. since they're kind of two different things.
Yeah,
and stuff, and just knowing where you need to be, when you need to be, negotiations. That's a big time. Consumer, calendar committee, facilities committee. We've got a lot of things that need to be done, you know, with our facilities. So we meet on that. As far as hours, I would have no idea.
It sounds like you were at least working a part-time job besides your full-time job.
Yes.
Yeah.
We appreciate all of that time and the energy. There was never a question that you didn't want what was best for the students and the district and the staff as a whole. And I think that's important to think about as people want, if they're interested in this, is that we have to sometimes remove our personal wants and needs to think about what's best for the whole. And that's hard sometimes, that we have to think outside of ourselves.
You know, you can't go in with an agenda. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're one vote. So, I mean, you can try, but you really shouldn't go in with an agenda.
Yeah. You won a second term election, and then we realized that you were ineligible to actually hold that seat because of changing in maps, district maps. So my question to you is, moving forward, you're not on the board. What is something that you want to see the school district continue to work on? Or what is something that you wish we do in the next couple of years? Or, you know, the board, the new board?
I think somehow we've got to take care of our facilities. I mean, I know the bond didn't pass, which breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, we really needed that, and we need that support from within and stuff. There was a lot of misinformation going around, and I think that hurt us. But at the end of the day, it's our facilities are getting old, and it's just like with your house.
Yeah.
You know this stuff's going to happen, but you always think, oh, I've got tomorrow. Well, we're almost to the point where tomorrow's here.
Yeah.
We've got to address some of that stuff.
And just a reminder for those that are listening, our general fund dollars that come from the state are not meant to take care of our facilities. The state expects our community to support that through bonds. And so it is difficult when we don't have those funds. We've made it this far, but now... things are happening. Our facilities are getting extremely old, especially at Ortega Middle School and our high school. Everyone says our new high school, that's almost 30 years old now.
Yeah. So
things are going to start happening, and we will address them as best we can.
One final question for you. You learned quite a bit about the school system in the past 4 years, maybe more than you wanted to learn about. But if you had a magic wand and could change one thing about the educational system in the state of Colorado, what would that be?
I guess my thought on that would be more CTE courses. I really think that the emphasis has always been on kids are, you know, you got to be college ready. Yeah. There's a lot of kids that aren't going to go to college, and there's a lot of openings for electricians and plumbers and the trades that you don't get in college, and those can be really high-paying jobs, and yeah. there are less and less people who want to do those jobs. So I would really like to see a focus on CTE courses.
Well, speaking of that, you had a great idea for us as we were thinking about, as we were working towards passing the process of passing the bond, and you thought about our transportation department assisting with a CDL licensing. And because of your great idea, we're going to move forward with that. And the people across the valley, not just our students, will be able to have that opportunity. So we're grateful for your, she's always thinking, Heidi's always thinking in what we can do better and how we can be more efficient and effective and how we can support our students. So I have to say, I don't really have the words to thank you for all of the time and energy and sacrifice that you gave to us and to me personally in supporting us. And our district is better because of your service. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I think Alamosa School District can be great if everybody gets on the same playing field and, you know, no personal agendas. We can make Alamosa School District great.
As always, it's a great day to be a Mean Moose. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.